New to the living healthy lifestyle or a healthy living veteran, this is your place for honest answers.
Naturally Savvy.
With registered holistic nutritionist, Andrea Donsky.
And health journalist, Lisa Davis.
Andrea and I are back together again. So glad you're listening to Naturally Savvy. Hey, Andrea, how have you been? Happy New Year.
Hey, Lisa, Happy New Year. Yes, very excited to start off this year. Very cool.
Yeah, and we've got such a wonderful guest. Her name is Pia DeJong, and she has such a moving story. Her book is A Mother and the Power of Intuition. You know, Andrea, we've talked about intuition before, and sometimes it's hard. Should we follow our intuition? What does it mean? What if you ignore it? What if you don't ignore it? And this story
how do we recognize
it? It'll be moving. How do we recognize it? Yes, exactly. So I want to bring the wonderful Pia into the show. Welcome to Naturally Savvy.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on the show, and Happy New Year to you all as well. Good year.
Yes, I'm thinking the same thing. You know, yeah, I was so moved reading and just I can't even imagine, you know, when your daughter was just two weeks old, she was diagnosed with a rare form of leukemia. I don't even know what goes through your head as a mom. What do you do? There must have been pressure. You got to try this. You got to do this. Take us back and tell us about not only about the diagnosis, but how you had the wherewithal to reject the treatment that was suggested.
Yeah, so I have to go back like 17 years ago because that's, my daughter is now 17 years old. And she was born, and still in Amsterdam, in our own house with a midwife. And immediately after birth, she found actually a blue spot on her back. And indeed, after 2 weeks, it turned out that it was this rare form of leukemia. And, you know, and I remember my husband saying, like, yeah, but leukemia is kind of, you can survive leukemia, you know, very good these days. And this lady said to us, like, well, it should have been, like, almost 100%, except for cases like your daughter who have almost 0%. It looks very bad, and you have to prepare for the worst. So that was the situation. That was the diagnosis. And it was... it was kind of shattering in a sense that, like, I mean, I'd just given birth. I was in this whole hormone happy state, and I feel like, how can somebody have an opinion about my child and tell me in my face that my child is gonna die? I just couldn't digest that. And the only thing I wanted to do was actually leave the place, because I felt like a toxic place where people say such terrible things about such a sweet little baby. So that was what I felt.
So what did you do? Once you found out that devastating news, what course of action did you decide to take?
Yeah, so, that was the first diagnosis. And then we were sent to this oncologist, and they did the bone marrow biopsy and all these tests. And while we were doing all those tests, Charlotte, my daughter's name is Charlotte, got very nervous and upset. And we stayed there, and I got very nervous and upset. And so when we were actually finally sitting at this doctor's office, and he told us that the only thing we could do that was available at that time was chemotherapy, if you ask what I did, I kind of stood up and kind of started to pack my stuff and pack my child in my sling, and I just left the doctor's office. I just didn't want to be there. I thought this was not a good place, you know, for her to be, and I didn't want this whole chemotherapy in her teeny tiny body. I didn't think it would work. That was my first intuition without even thinking about it. Yeah,
yeah, I would have thought the same thing. Go on.
Yeah.
She seems too tiny, right? 2 weeks old.
Yeah, she was tiny. She was kind of, except from, she developed actually more of those blue spots, which were tumors, but they were like very pretty to look at. Very, I was almost say like beautiful and serene and calm. So she was a teeny tiny baby, but she was perfect and beautiful. So why destroy all of that by something that we didn't even know it was, you know, gonna work, and it would in any case be very detrimental for her. So yeah, so we went home because I just felt she needed to be at a safe spot with her brothers, my husband, just us at home. And then we could see how we would proceed with her and her health. And that's what we did. And I think it was a good thing, and it might be a good thing for everybody, to just, when you're confronted with such a complete overwhelming situation that you don't know what to do, just maybe go home and just take some time to think about it and, you know, get towards your intuition and Where am I? What's going to do? Yeah.
So you mentioned that she's 17 now, so thankfully she's okay. So tell us a little bit about that journey, but you know, from when you found out to, you know, her being healthy today. So what did you do? What are some of the, you know, did you just not do anything? Did you do anything from a natural perspective? Tell us a little bit about that side of the story.
Yeah, so I think, so basically we decided to do nothing, at least medically, and I think doing nothing can be actually a lot. So I gave myself a big task of doing everything I thought was good for her. For instance, keeping her completely stress-free, giving her everything she needed. I mean, I breastfed her. I kept her with me all the time. She had no fear or anxiety. I ate very healthy, so I figured that would have been good for her as well. So, and we just had a very cozy home situation with, you know, my boys who were 4 and 2 at the time. So that was what I did, just keep it very safe and calm and quiet and give her everything she needed. And so that was kind of a whole lot, and it kept me quite busy. And, you know, so this was like a holistic approach from my point of view, you know, giving her like little baby massages and taking her to baby swimming and just be there and touch and feel and smell everything that was nice and you know, what I would do for somebody now who is, you know, stressed and sick, just make it healthy and nice for her. And that was quite a lot. We didn't do any of the medical things. We worked together with the doctor, and we went to have her checked and have looked at her tumors. So, and that was what happened. So she became, she was quite, you know, sick, and she had tumors, and they came and they went, and she was not thriving. But about like half a year later, the tumors started to disappear. She became livelier. She became more interested in playing with her brothers. And so when she was about a year old, they had all disappeared, and the doctor said that she was in remission. So that was, in short, how she reacted to the no medical thing, the no medical procedure to help her, which, of course, I wouldn't recommend. You know, you should always go with your doctor, and if he kind of, or he said that, you know, any medical thing you should do, procedure, I mean, I would go with my situation, because it was so, she was so very sick and her chances were so low and the chemo was so devastating. Then, you know, I think it was a good thing for me to make that decision.
Yeah, it sounds like it. You know, one of the things we wanted to focus on today was the power of intuition. And Andrea brought up earlier about, like, how do you recognize that? And you had a certain intuitive sense that she was going to be okay. And did that waver at times? Because it, like, sounds like when you were saying she would be fine and then she wouldn't be, it's hard to kind of hang on to that hope, I would think, or that feeling that you have that she'll be okay.
Yeah, I think, that was probably, I never felt this so clear in my whole life. And I think it was also because I had just given birth and I was so focused on her. And although she was tiny, we also felt very much her strength. And I kind of felt all the time that she would make it somehow. It was kind of confusing because the doctor kept stressing that she wouldn't make it. And when we actually just went home, they sent another doctor to her home and a psychiatrist. And they said like that they thought that we didn't get the message and we were in denial. But somehow I always felt that she would make it. And I felt very strongly that I had to protect her. So I made myself, as I always say, the CEO of, you know, her health, her, you know, becoming better. Sometimes you start, you know, losing faith, especially when I was seeing doctors and they were telling me, you know, how she would die, how this, you know, disease would proceed. But yes, somehow I never really believed it, and I maintained that. And my husband had the same thing. We both felt her strength very much. And her brother, my oldest son, he said all the time, "Mama, she's not gonna die." So there was, you know, there was all this magic around us that, you know, we were living in this whole intimate, intuitive state of mind for a whole year, and I kept hope that, you know, she would make it. Very strange.
So if, you know, let's say it were to happen in, you know, you obviously, where do you live? What country do you live in?
I live in Princeton, New Jersey.
So you're in the U.S., right? And when this happened, were
you
in the U.S. or?
No, I was in Amsterdam. This happened all in Amsterdam. Yeah, in the Amsterdam Medical Center. And they went with us, which in retrospect, I think is miraculous. They respected our decision. And I think in a way, they were kind of happy that we didn't want to, you know, go into this whole chemotherapy from the beginning and do what they now call, wait and see. Because they were insecure. I think they were insecure too about whether it would work or not. But most parents, that's what they told us, most parents want to do anything to help their children and to go into any therapy. So it was a bit unusual that we just decided not to do anything at all.
And do you think, you know, if it were to happen today, that you would take the same course of action? I mean, I know that's an interesting question, but I'm just curious if you would say, yep, 100% I would do the same thing today if it were to happen, in Amsterdam and the same situation occurred.
Yeah, of course it's easy to say now because it had such a happy ending, but I feel, and also, yeah, I've been pondering that question. I mean, if this would happen to me, some disease that I wouldn't have much chance of survival, and I could like have maybe a little bit of a good time, or a longer time with chemotherapy, I would probably go for a higher quality of life. But yeah, I never with my daughter, I never really doubted the decision we made, and I'm very happy we made that decision. Because if we wouldn't have done that, I would have had a totally different child now. And the effects of chemo are terrible for newborns. I mean, they become blind and infertile. I would have a totally different child if she had survived at all. And it taught me so much. I mean, it taught me so much about stress and how you can handle that. And it changed me too, because I was always a little bit of a nervous person and trying all kind of things for myself. And I learned so much to trust myself, to, become a more quiet person, to focus more on the moment, on quality of life. I've become a totally different person through this whole process.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, because that's huge. You know, that's something that when we go through something so life-changing, to look at how it affects us. And to be able to learn something that, as horrible as it was, it helped you become who you are. And who you are is pretty flippin' awesome from where I sit.
Well, you know, what happened is that, as for me as a girl, you're always, I'm always a pleaser. I always try to, to do what everybody wanted that I would do. And to, I started a career because my parents wanted me to go in a certain way. And I was always this pleaser, and I learned through this that, I mean, it might be hard to, to stand up for yourself, but it was somehow kind of completely easy to stand up for my daughter and fight for her and to say no to everything that didn't feel good to me. Even people that, didn't exude the right, feelings towards her. I just said no, and I just took them out of her life. So I became like this, this lioness that was new to me. And I kept that after she had healed. It's something I learned, I learned her as well, to be very protective of your own energy. And so I changed because of that. And I learned to stand up for myself. I became a writer. I never was a writer, but I learned to, to stand up for my feelings and put it down in paper. And totally new for me and such a good experience. And I was, a management consultant and all this kind of things. And I always felt that I wasn't really my thing. I felt like an imposter. And now I feel that I'm in the life that I want to be and that I should be. And so I'm so grateful to my daughter. I mean, I think I helped her heal, and I gave her a chance to heal herself. And in return, she gave me the greatest gift of all, which is, a life that's full of purpose and meaning, my own life.
I would that's be curious beautiful. To know, how did your daughter, given this, the fact of what happened to her, and I'm sure you've talked to her, let me not assume, have you spoken to her about it? And if you have, were there any lessons that you think she took away from this, even though she was a baby, but now she's 17, what do you think she got out of the experience?
Well, I think she has always realized that the preciousness of life, and maybe that sounds like a cliche, but I think she really gets it. And she is very, I learned her, and she also understood that to be very, everything you do and all your energy and what you love is all very precious, and it could be shattered in a thing. So whatever you feel, protect it. I learned her to be very protective, and I think she's protective. She knows when she's tired. She knows when she doesn't like people. You know, she knows when energy is not good. She takes her time off, and she needs. I think that's a very big thing to learn for anybody, and that's a very good thing, you know, for her especially, because, you know, she's strong, but at the same time, you know, she, you know, I can always think she's still vulnerable in some way. So yeah, I think that's the big lesson, to always be yourself and trust, you know, also for her to trust her intuition. That's a big thing.
You know, it makes a lot of sense for sure. You know, what's interesting
really
to me, you know, Lisa, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, we only have a couple minutes left. I would love for you to, you know, share with us again the name of the book for listeners. Give us all the ways that we can find you. I find it so moving, and there's so many hard decisions we have in our lives. And the more we can tune into our intuition and what we truly feel and believe, even if there's like doubt thrown in, I think the more powerful we're going to be. So give us all your information.
Yeah, well, thank you for all the kind words, and I really hope that readers who read the book feel it's not a book about, you know, a sick child. It's a book about, indeed, about hope and trust and you know, intuition, and also finding your own force in spite of terrible things. So the name of the book is Saving Charlotte, A Mother and the Power of Intuition, and I have a website, and it's called Pia De Jong. That's PIADEJONG.com, and there's all kind of information and pictures and how you can reach me, and I think the website is quite wonderful. There's also a little movie about, you know, a 2-minute movie about the book, and my daughter also is you know, she's also on the little movie, so please check it out. It would be, you know, I would be grateful if you do that, and I hope you enjoy the book, and let me know if you do and what you think of it, and because we can all learn so much, and I think I still can learn also so much from your reactions. But thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Pia. Thank you for being on our show. And, you know, we're talking about inspiration and intuition and just all that, you know, lots of love. And I want to give a love to our sponsor, NeoCell, this month, because without NeoCell, we couldn't be doing what we love to do. And Lisa and I love to do our podcast. So thank you for all of you who are listening. Thank you, NeoCell. You can learn more about NeoCell at NeoCell.com. They make amazing collagen supplements. And I'm Andrea Donsky, along with Lisa Davis, and you're listening to Naturally Savvy Radio. Like us on all social media at Naturally Savvy, at Andrea Donsky, at Radio MD, and at Health Media Gal 1. Thanks for listening, everyone. Listen to your intuition. Stay well.